Okay, this is a continuation of our review of the cash flow payday show of November 30th, 2011. And we're doing hour two. But first, this is copywritten for New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved. And it's copyright 2011. And we're starting at 2:13 p.m. December 11th, 2:13 p.m. Hawaii time. Okay, so we begin with Allison, who has not heard the show until now. She heard it, but behind me and Sheila. So is that the way to introduce it? Have I covered everything, Allison?
Yep, here we go.
Stupidest question I've ever heard in my life.
Okay. That was the beginning. That was the ending of the music. And that phrase comes up again. But we're just about to jump into the next topic that Renee is going to bring up. This is a follow-through, you know, or a flow-through, flow-over from the hot topic of fat and energy, which in the first hour was so incredibly cool.
Did that come up in the first hour, did it?
Oh, it was the second hour? The whole thing was
the
second hour?
Yeah, and the third hour, yeah.
Right. I don't think you're talking about energy and fat. That was not discussed in the first hour. Is that what you're saying, Sheila?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice that voiceover? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
That, are you going to say more about that? You're going to play another sample? Is that what you're saying?
I can do it again. It was pretty important, and from what I understand, you told me, or you said that Ion did that.
Yes. Well, I don't know where that came from.
Let's
it was
play
not...
it again.
Yeah, all right.
I'm ready. Hold on. I think I went back too far. Hold on.
No, that's okay. I like it. It's good to hear.
I know. I did too. All right, hold on. Oh. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay, Bob.
Okay, hold on.
Someone said, that's the stupidest thing ever. Don't know where that came from. Is that Ion put that voice over right then live?
No, oh, maybe Ion. That was us coming through.
That's you? That was you?
Maybe that's my thoughts that were coming through.
Okay, that's and what were you saying was stupid?
I didn't think it. I thought it. No, I'm
See the contrast, James? The first song, Reflections of My Life by The Marmalade, that came out the same time the second song by Zappa called Orange County Lumber Truck. Two different
songs. Oh, good.
Moves.
Let's try this one. Okay, let's try this one then.
Stopped it.
Yeah, that song was totally for me. I don't care what anybody else thought of it, but that was for me.
How was it for you?
Thank you, Ion. How was it? It was great.
No, I like
no,
that
how
song.
How was it for you?
Yeah, how was it? Why is it for you?
Because over a year ago, he sent that song to me in a personal in a private message.
Oh.
And
that's a good song. I like the song.
Oh, yeah. It's a great song.
And you don't know who it is.
Can you tell me what the
words I can't remember because it was a YouTube and it was pretty funky and there were all these geometric kind of shapes with funky perspective. And.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah, it's all
I
about
heard this
time you got it.
This time, baby, I'll be running you.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's what I heard.
Well, and Ian said, I think it's like saying, this time you get it. This time you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was all about perspective in your private sessions, and that has images of multi-perspective, that YouTube?
Yeah, it's got some, it's a bizarre video. It's got some geometric shapes, patterns, and theaters,
right.
And all things that she's in this room, and... Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't like the 70s music that Ian picks, Queen and that, too much. Never liked that stuff. I had Zappa to play off against that. And he interrupts me there. I thought it was interesting. Maybe I don't know if I have a thought to finish, but you had the Marmalade, Reflections of My Life, and then Zappa, two different, I guess, AM, FM, Reflections of My Life being an AM song, sentimental, mournful thing. Then you have this great, happy music. In the guitar work of Zappa and the other instruments. It's a nice juxtaposition.
Here's one for you, though. One was Marmalade and one was Orange.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even notice that. That's very good.
Orange Marmalade, one of my favorites.
Yeah, great. And look at the emotion. The lost and mortar reflection of my life, I want to die or whatever he says. I feel like dying. That's the mortar. And then you have this powerful energy coming out of Zappa's music. To me, powerful energy.
Oh, I thought it was great, too. I'm glad we played it twice.
Yeah. So you like that Zappa stuff?
Yeah. You and
yeah.
I are the ones who like that, so
yeah.
There are other people, but...
I mean, I like, when I'm in a mood, I like reflections of my life. I like that, but you're not in one mood, which is the that's the electric age. We accept mood mud or shifting from mood to mood more than people could before in the literate mechanical era.
Oh. Okay.
Are you going? Responding to the noises?
No, that was, I'm sorry, that was the cat food.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just
you're going,
I was thinking about what you just said.
Yeah.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, in McLuhan's book, War and Peace in the Global Village, came out in 1968, he has the 10 thunders from Finnegan's Wake, which is sun-developed, and the 10th thunder is about television, the era of television, and McLuhan calls it a mood mud. M-O-O-D hyphen M-U-D, mood mud is what people are massaged into, floating from one mood to another because there's so much information, songs, music, entertainment, that we accept the flow of being in different moods because music, different kinds of music put you in different moods. And that to be a person who was moody like that 100 years before would have been put away in a psychiatric institute. They would have been appeared to be unstable. So if you actually took some from the 19th century and plopped them down in the 1960, they would think most people were really whacked. You know, they're not stable, solid point of view citizens. You know, don't have a singular identity. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. What it also sounds like is, you know, that it's the sheeple movement too. Because if you're listening to something and it's moving, it is moving you. Are you really moving you, or is it moving you from?
Yes, you are being moved. You are being moved through moods. I mean, it just shows you how different the 20th century is from the 19th century. They didn't have things shifting their moods all the time. That's why they could work in an assembly plant for 15 years or 30 years, you know, just do the same thing. They actually lived a very limited sensory life that would not be tolerable to the citizen of the 20th century. I remember in the 70s or so when banks started allowing Muzak to come in through the bank tellers, whereas if you couldn't have done that in the 30s, you know, it was a totally literate, silent environment, and that would be laziness to have entertaining music coming through. But there was so much, it was not policed anymore that music added to the environment. It was accepted that the tellers could hear music, you know, and you would... I'm old enough to remember in the 30s and 40s, man, you couldn't do that in a bank back then. But it's because acoustic space was becoming not threatening anymore because we moved into tactile space, the electric flow of tactility, and the content of electric tactility is mood mud, moving from being taken from one mood to another. That's why McLuhan said we lived entirely by music. He said that in the 60s. So the shifting of people's sensibilities and feelings and moods is profound compared to the industrial era of the 19th century. And then, okay, what is the mood we're in now? You know, what is shifting now where people can turn off the mood music? What are people like now?
Or as you said earlier... you know, it's the YouTube component where it's not just music. It's George Carlin. It's Marshall McLuhan. It's listening to Bucky Fuller. There's so much information that was recorded that was put up there. Now, if it was before recorded time, you're not going to get the influence. But you have, you know, you have so much choice and so much available to you from old Bewitched, you know, shows, the Squidbillies, from whatever you want to draw from,
and you select
that,
it. You see, you there's more editorial editing agency involved today, and this may be why
sounds
kids
like more power on your part. On
yeah,
our part.
Yeah. That's what I've said for years. The Android meme gives you at least the illusion of having power. You select what moves you. You're actually not the TV was watching you, but now you're looking at the TV because you can turn it on and off. It's just the content of the video content of YouTube. So this may be why the young kids are born with this incredible, noblesse oblige about, you don't mess with me, I program my environment. You know, and mm-hmm. and if you even mess with it, that attitude, you'll get an autistic kid.
That's interesting mm-hmm. you use that word. I was just thinking about that yesterday, or the two words, noblesse oblige. It's like too
yeah.
much is given, much will be expected.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if the much is expected part gets into the young mind, but they don't have a social space to be responsible towards. The aristocrat had to be responsible towards the space it was allowed to lord over. But there's not
yeah,
a...
Yeah, but just to be responsible to themselves. I mean,
yeah, but how do you do that? What's your standard?
Well, if you're God.
Yeah, you just go by your bliss, what makes you happy. So you... To a 19th century or even a 20th century person, the kid would be incredibly, quote, spoiled, right?
Right, yeah.
And an older mind would think Ion's advocating people to be narcissistic and spoiled, all the various things that were not responsible behavior 50 or more years ago. But the technical environment has now made that inevitable. We've been shifted into having to follow our own bliss because there's so much you can plug into and you can select. So... What Ion tells us to do, what I noticed, you know, a long time ago with Ion, is it's not an ideology of values. He's telling you live in an environment that makes you that way already.
That leads you?
Yeah, leads you, makes you think you're in charge and you get to click and choose. And you've got a lot of opportunity to not have to deal with others. And you can just you're self-entertained by what the android mean provides. So there's less. Beg your pardon?
You don't have to be. You know, the leading part is what you're again what you're going to choose.
Yeah, you're in charge.
You're now in the lead again if you want to be.
And you're not responsible for the happiness of others. May seem to be a shocking aphorism or value statement, but it's technically you can't. Be responsible for the happiness of others because they've already got access to so much stuff they don't need your input.
Well, they also, you're never going to influence anybody else on that level anyway.
No, see, that's the metaphysical part. And whether we influence or not, we can discuss that, and those are sort of unresolvable points that which you guys come up against all the time in previous house gagas, but it's not something like figuring out the nature of humans. What's the human
right.
condition? It is a technical environment. That's what's interesting here. Aside from what the answer to the question is, you got to live that way anyways right now. There's no common shared media space. It used to be presented...
in the common shared coitus space. Was that in the first hour? No, that was last week. Never mind.
Yeah, we talked about that in the previous week's show, about where is the common space. And you're saying Ion mentioned the coitus space, or what?
No, not in this show. Not in this show.
No, not in this show. No, but in last week's show, the previous show, November 23rd,
mm-hmm.
we discussed the common space, and you just made a statement. I'm just trying to hear what you said.
It really was just remembering that. So let's move on.
Just remember that
it's
theme.
Really not relevant.
Yeah, that theme.
Yeah.
No, but that is what we're talking about. But it's important to say what I'm saying is that Ion is not necessarily making statements. Like, you can't influence another person. Like Moses said, thou shalt not kill another person. And Ion's interpretation of that commandment is that it technically cannot be done because every death is suicide and you can't kill anybody. That's a truism about the human condition. But that is not... The only thing Ion's saying today, when you're not responsible for the other person's happiness, you technically can't do it because of the environment. There's too much that people can get lost in inside their own TV body or chip body. See, it's important to realize that Ion is not imposing laws. That may be true, what, you know, yes, you can't kill anybody, but it's equally important to notice that's the environment you're going into, that the kids and us are being programmed by. It's an environment that programs you to think that you're in charge. And that's a seduction. So Ion shows up to remind us of something else, your own innate abilities or potentials that aren't subject to being programmed. So there's two levels.
I was going to say, maybe the buzzword is you don't have to be in charge. That's not the word to use, you know.
Yeah.
Ion is showing up to show us that that's not, that's almost authority versus power.
Yeah, I say the Android meme imitates Ion. That someone can reject, if Ion is, quote, the second coming, it's just like the old joke about what would Jesus do if he came back? Would he have a press conference, you know, and then it would just be get 10 seconds coverage and then on to the next story. So whatever Ion, whatever significance, archetypal significance of Ion, he's up against the Android meme providing an equally seductive second coming. And Ion seems to work with that, which will develop, will be talked about in the third hour of this November 30th show when we get there, when Chad comes on. But Ion plays with and screws with the chip body, its competitor.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sheila, can I throw a Gaga moment in here?
Oh, do.
Where you and I were talking yesterday on the phone, and Bob, I was driving, and I said to her, I was just saying, oh, Jesus, something. You know, I was expounding on something, and I said, maybe we should start saying, oh, Ion.
And how is that a Gaga? Oh, you mean a real house, what do we call it? Real house Gagas of Ion? Yeah, that's a house Gaga moment, you mean.
Uh-huh.
It's a personal moment that just isn't analyzing what we're listening to now, thrown in there, just
right
on the sideline.
Yeah,
now
you know, someone posted the... it's on YouTube, I guess, the show that Lady Gaga did in Madison Square Gardens. Did you guys look at that?
No.
Anyway,
Dave,
so it's a bit...
It's really good. Dave,
yeah,
Dave,
you
my husband.
I think you sent it to me.
Oh, did I? Maybe.
Yeah, anyways, I started to watch it, and it didn't get... What was odd, she was telling the audience, the huge audience, that she was there as a spiritual salvation at the beginning, that she was here to... She stated her mission, which was odd, rather than just seduce everybody. And then she performed a song or two, and it didn't really grab me, maybe in another moment. I didn't really have time to sit and watch it, so I was doing just a little glancing at it and listening to it while doing the dishes or something. But I had different thoughts about her. But she looked rather contemporary. I was wondering about why I was making a big deal out of her. So that's just passing thoughts. They're incomplete. That the show was ridiculously elaborate or something, or well, she putting all her energy. What she thinks she's doing? but the kids are nuts. They love her. You know what I mean? They want that pump up thing that she's giving them.
Okay, Ion, where are you? Can you talk about it?
No. It's just a passing, just another Gaga moment, a passing thought about that experience, but nothing to do with the show. So let's get into the show here.
Do we do more on the show? Should I play the next thing, or do you want to say something, Sheila?
No, I'm good. But, we're not playing the whole thing through like last time, are we?
No.
Or what are you doing?
No.
No. I can say what it was is the symbolism.
Wait a minute, before you go, I want to comment on. So you have the Zappa song, Orange County Lumber Truck, and the original recording has these Mother's Invention or people laughing at the end. So that was already part of the song, the laughing. Then you have this voiceover that Renee claims it was a projection of her thoughts, which was just a joke by her, but she was saying something was stupid. She didn't say what. She was thinking that thought about, but obviously that was put in by Ion, unless Bill did it, but I doubt. Yeah, I mean, could Bill have done that, James?
Stupidest question I've ever heard is what they say.
Yeah, and it's just very interesting how Ion can manipulate the sound environment and then quickly have this other song ready to go.
It's more than interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's profound. If one believes that it's an energy, that Ion's an energy doing this, and not one of the JWs doing it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or a JW.
My notes here say, right under that, after the song that they played that was for you, Sheila, it says, I wrote on here, the chip body is in charge, !
Yeah.
Because they can override anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this is a question from last week, you know, is Ion the chip body? Is the chip body Ion? Are they bigger than that? Is there more than that? Or is that what Ion is?
Ion, I think, is more an energy, an environment more than the chip body, even though electricity seems to be a big, big interesting phenomenon. But if he's more than electricity, it's easy for Ion to manipulate the limited conditions of the chip body because it is more than that, some kind of more inclusive energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes me think of cold fusion, too, you know, and all the energy that is free, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, the cold fusion is attempting to get to the energy now. A truly ascended person has immense energy, you know, can eat Saturn. And it wouldn't be that kind of energy probably can't even measure in a normal laboratory meter instrument.
I wonder if the rings are chewy.
The ring? Oh, yeah, satellite. Yeah, right.
I wonder if I ate that much energy, I'd be really thin.
Yeah, really. Tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you think JW is you know, that Ion is just a human being, JW, having these things ready to play and make it like this mystical, mysterious Ion is doing it, I don't think a JW person could stop me from playing my special effects thing, which he does. I couldn't play it, and neither could Bill play it. He can interfere beyond what we understand humans can do. Unless JW is a probe from the Pentagon, you know, a hyper new thing, terminal man that can get inside our computers and make, it's almost like what, you know, David Copperfield kind of thing. It's an optical illusion. He can do things to our technology there during the broadcast that appears to be beyond what a human can do.
What do you think of that, Sheila?
Yeah,
I think JW as a probe is a really interesting visual.
Yeah.
Oh, Sheila.
Oh, you know what? No, that reminds me. We were talking about Moo Mud, which is in the McLuhan's War and Peace in the Global Village. In that book, he has a picture of a fly's penis. Like, this was new stuff that the electron microscopes could provide back then. And so he has the fly's penis, and he says underneath, the probe versus the point of view.
Well,
so, Sheila, you're picking up on me, Sheila. You're picking up on the penis, that particular book. And JW is a probe.
You went to the fly's penis. I mean, geez, I didn't go that far.
Well, you didn't know the implications of what you were saying.
That's true.
And I had no idea it's been photographed. That's amazing. Amazing.
Well, did you see the YouTubes I posted on Dupes, the slow motion stuff of the insects?
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty amazing.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, go there. It's a thread called The Future. I think it's the latest technical ability. Right?
That's
Sheila?
Funny that you brought this up.
Yeah.
When I tried to go on today on the internet, it was scientists have found the biggest insect ever.
Ew, really?
That's like finding the biggest midget. What's that mean, the biggest insect ever?
I don't know.
How big?
Was it Carolyn who says she's the biggest midget?
I say she's the tallest midget around, yep.
Around.
There's a fine. It's a blurred border between where midgets stop and short people start. You know what I mean? Or short normal people. Where is that point? So the biggest insect. What? I guess. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
what would that be?
Big.
Flying thing? Something flying or crawling?
No, I don't know. Did you see it, Sheila?
No, because I remember I was in this shop in France once and. They had some really cool things, and then they had these gigantic you know, bugs under glass. They were huge. They were flying, and it was, like, really creepy.
You mean they were alive?
They weren't alive.
No. They were dead.
They were dead.
But they're like the size
actually,
of a
cat. I know those things that we used to go to the gift show to buy for a store that I belong, you know, that I was connected to, and there were the most amazing insects under glass. It was one booth.
Uh-huh.
It was outrageous. They were from the Amazon. They were from all over the place, and they had them in pins, you know, and they were in their most
mm-hmm.
electrical color
yeah.
format. They were so cool. It was a little weird. They were under a box, or, you know, under glass in a box, but I would have bought 100 of them, but they were really expensive.
See, that would be my thing to have that hanging around in my house. That's kind of weird, but, you know. But think about it,
cool.
You know, because butterflies are cool. You know,
mm-hmm.
I guess so. In the eye of the beholder.
So we're talking about, we've discussed now the voiceover that the Pentagon probe did into my computer,
yes.
into our computers.
The Pentagon probe. All the conspiracy theorists are going to go, listen,
yeah.
Dr. Camelot's going to love this one.
Yeah, yeah. What does Bob know that he's hinting at?
Yeah. What did he do when he was in Europe in August?
Yeah. Okay, so Allison, go to the next thing you want to point out or talk
okay,
about.
Okay, well, so it was Renee talking about, she jumped right into the ISIS sun disk.
But wait a minute. Didn't you want to talk about one of the lyrics? A line in the Ion song? You said there was one lyric.
No, it was just that last comment that we heard that said, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard.
That's what you wanted to talk about. Okay. I thought you said before.
Because it shows up again. You remember that it
yes.
shows up again?
Yeah,
that was
okay.
Good.
Okay, so you're saying Renee and the sundial?
Sun disc.
With the wings.
Yes, with the wings. I could picture Sheila painting it.
ISIS.
Have you?
Indirectly, yes, I have, because he refers to it as the Sphinx.
Oh.
Remember
okay,
that?
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's how we refer to it as.
During this hour?
Yeah, I think, or did he say Griffin?
Yeah,
he said Griffin. He said
Griffin.
I have it written down, but it was... Go ahead.
Yeah, and then he relates it to the lion, the body of the lion, the wings, and something else, which is also the Sphinx.
Yeah. The calf,
what I have written,
the lion, the eagle, the man makes
mm-hmm.
up the Sphinx.
What I have written down as notes are, it was ISIS was about... I think I asked, was it about Rai and Issy? Well, he says that.
I'd like to know what Ion means by Issy. He uses it in different contexts.
That was my question to you, Bob, was, is Issy ISIS?
Yeah, well, when he's talking in a private session to somebody, it usually refers to the guy's wife, I think. You know what I mean? And he's done it with me. With me, he'll say, well, we're talking about this and that, and then he says, until Issy gets mad... And I've either asked or it was assumed or it got confirmed that that means Carolyn. That when he says, oh, yeah, you can do that, Bob, until Issy gets mad. So he means Carolyn. So for me, it's a reference to, you know, a male-female relationship. There's the Rai is the male.
Maybe that's because Carolyn is ISIS.
Yeah, now I don't know if she's ISIS. She certainly would make the short list if the world population voted, she'd make the short list, you know. She'd be up there with Michelle Bachmann.
Have you ever asked Carolyn, is she ISIS?
Well, I didn't think I was Rai. She'd have to be, you know what, in cosmic awareness mythology, Rai is the original separateness. And it creates this world that we're in and many other worlds. And then the plane of essence creates the female form, or Isis, to come down and try to bring him back to the plane of essence, bring him back to unity and not separation or separateness, and does it by going along with Rai for a while and bearing his children and keeping his world here going. But when Rai returned to essence in 67, according to works during cosmic awareness, Isis had accomplished its task, and that's why the womb, over the, say, into the 80s and 90s till now, would close. The bearing of children to keep Isis as a separate world of creation going was not necessary, not going to happen anymore. So that's the big picture of the role of Isis. So I used to think on the popular level that JFK, the assassination of JFK, had such an outpouring. That was prefiguring the end of the male enterprise. And then Lady Diana, sort of 30 years later, after she cleaned up the mess that Rai left and then was ready to return herself, that the emotion poured out about her murder, she symbolized Isis. So those would be images of Rai and Isis in the TV landscape. The chip body landscape would not have a macro image like Kennedy or Lady Diana because everybody creates their own space. So each person would be a Rai or Isis, whatever drama they make within that in the chip landscape. So, and then Ion shows up to at least use the Rai myth or confirm or celebrate what Dave was saying. So that surprised me that Ion uses the Rai Isis method. But I don't know if Ion is serious about that. He is serious about, well, he was serious for a few minutes about the womb closing. He agreed with Cosmic Awareness on that. And then you have the reference to Finnegan's Wake, where the two kids, the twin brothers, are Shem and Sean, and their sister is Issy. And you know that Joyce had the Isis archetype embedded in Issy, you know, so Isis is referred to by Issy in Finnegan's Wake. And I play off those, the family members, HCE, which stands for Humphrey Chimpton Earworker, and ALP, the mother, which is Anna Olivia Plurabelle, and the three kids, they're on my other chart that the tiny note comes out of. I call it the Bob Dobbs formula chart. So I've played with that Issy theme archetypally. But the way Ion uses Issy is nebulous, what he's actually referring to. It changes. So
it sounds like the hit I get is that it was about you and Carolyn. But what do you think, Sheila?
I wasn't concentrating on that or listening to that or hearing that. I was hearing the symbolism he was talking about with the griffin and that he mentioned the sepulcher cover.
The cover of the sepulcher.
Yeah.
I looked that word up.
Yeah. So that was really interesting to me.
Where is the sepulcher?
In the Cashflow recording? Or what are you referring to?
Yeah. Well, why? Okay. What's the word referred to? What are you referring to?
Well, I looked it up, and it's a burial vault tomb or grave.
Right. I know that. But why?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about it? Is it in one of the biblical images?
Well, I am brought it
should
up.
We, no, should we play it? Maybe we should try and play it.
No, unless you have it right there. I believe that it was said, but what's the significance of it, Sheila?
Because Renee wanted to know about the disc with the wings, and then he brought in the griffin imagery and how it relates to
Hebrewloid.
Right, the Hebrewloid, yeah. And then he was saying, but it's more significant about the sepulchral, can't even say it.
Sepulcher
cover.
And what is when he says those words, sepulchral cover, what's he referring to?
He's referring to those images appearing on the cover.
Of
can
what?
Can I jump in here?
Go on.
I just went, the cover of what? The pyramid or the throne?
Let me jump in here.
Okay, you got it right there? You got it right there?
No, I wanted to jump in because my notes say this leads to extraterrestrial life more than human, more than the double helix. That was part of this sentence, part of the tail end of that discussion.
Right. But I'm asking
you. You went into Zachariah Sitchin, and you started talking about all that.
Right. But what is the word sepulcher when I'm saying, is that referring to some biblical theme?
No. Well, possibly, but I got that it was about the cover of a tomb, or it's also the cover of a reciprocal of a religious artifact.
Okay.
It could also be the Ark of the Covenant.
All right, so I was using it in general terms, the general meaning.
Well, that's what I heard.
They're pretty literal.
Yeah, he
well,
means
he was, saying, he was saying that it's about taking, it's the taking flight aspect.
Right.
So it's about taking flight of your otherwise limited dimension of one double helix strand of DNA.
And that can be seen as a sepulcher, a boxed-in situation of one.
No, well, it's the griffin. It's the winged image, or the sphinx, or whatever it is, the winged image that appears on the cover.
Oh, so the griffin's on the cover of the sepulcher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I translated that to extraterrestrial. And
right.
So did you, I think, Bob, because you went
yeah.
to Zachariah Sitchin over that. So.
Right. When I think of Sitchin, I'm thinking of his books. Isn't it his books that say that Jehovah One is some alien species that landed on the moon and then came here and set up Sumeria as a slave society of humans and even cloned the humans? Do you know that scenario? Isn't he responsible for that?
Is it the 12th planet is the
yeah,
one I'm
those,
thinking of.
Yeah, he's done several books.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely. It's a slave species that actually was here to mine gold because they thought they needed a shield.
Right.
Because there was one of the planets or one of the suns or something was going to come so close to their planet that it was going to burn them out, and they had to come here to mine gold. And the gods at that point, they came to Earth and mated with apes.
Yeah.
And created Homo sapiens. That was that whole thing.
Right. And the Homo
just
sapiens
so that,
were a slaved species.
Correct. To mine the gold.
Yeah. Now some people believe that stuff. I don't think Ion supports that view.
I don't think so either. I've never heard him talk about it, but
It may be on the project on the farm, Info Farm. That series, the analysis of 10 different major speakers of Project Camelot, that Zachariah Sitchin thing may have come up, and I am pretty sure Ion dissed it. But when I say Zachariah Sitchin, I mean that scenario you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say
what
that. That's what it is.
Oh, I was going to say JW always says I didn't come out of any monkey's butthole. So.
Right. He doesn't even believe in it.
JW says that?
Yeah, or Ion does.
I thought she just said JW says that.
Yeah, JW says that. I don't know if it's Ion. Well,
no,
well,
I think I don't think Ion agrees with evolution, Darwin's theory, because where there's no beginning point. The human form always was, is, will be.
Right.
The only part I liked about his books, first of all, it made me think, you know, it broadened my perspective on our origin.
Yeah.
Because I was fed those at age 23 by my mother-in-law. How cool was that? But anyway, she and along with the Rockefeller conspiracy books, but it was a great combo. But anyway,
your mother gave you the Sitchin book.
My mother-in-law.
Oh.
Whom I've been divorced from her son for 20 years, but
right.
she was dynamite, still active at 97 too.
Hmm.
Really cool woman. Anyway, but it was just, I love the idea that, we were colonized or, you know, something happened off this planet.
Yeah.
That, to me, opened up my mind a little bit at 23 because there was a lot of religious stuff going on. Remember, Sheila? Anyway.
Yeah, I remember.
So, interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I mention Sitchin, I'm just citing the meme. I don't, just for the record, I don't believe it.
Right.
And I can explain it in McLuhan figure ground terms. The old solar system becomes a place for new imaginary scenarios because it's obsolete. Just like the chemical body is obsolete and it can be played with a lot differently than people would do before the electric discarnate state went around it. So then you get, by the 80s, the universe becomes a playground. And so the popular imagination starts thinking about black holes and singularities and weird phenomena coming out of there. Then I guess the digital kids they would then look at what I call the mythic stage or the media matrix as a play thing. So it went from the solar system being the new playground because it was a ghetto and obsolete. So there you can put any kind of crazy David Icke or Icke scenario in there like Sitchin did. Then the universe becomes a ghetto. Then the media environment becomes a ghetto when The Matrix comes out. 1999, that's where it's, because we'd moved into a newer, stranger situation. And so if Ion is the ground now, what would we play with? What would be the ghetto? I say it's the mixing and merging of the five bodies or is the ghetto now. That's why I say 2011, my version of the year jubilee or the jubilee year, these past 12 months, is the millennial ecstatics of five-bodied expression. That's what kids and us are experiencing now. Because the hidden ground is Ion, which is not limited to the five bodies. Just like Ion explains the mystery landscape, with Ion he can explain the mystery landscape. Once we know what it is, we have the mystery body. It becomes known. And Ion is more than the mystery body. He can explain what the mystery landscape and mystery body is, what it's made up of, and the strange phenomena like sinkholes. Right? These are easy for, because Ion's operating on another level of technology, which might be the chip body or something. The chip body come alive.
How? Well, he feels like a bridge.
Yeah.
They feel like a bridge somehow.
Yeah. I'd agree with that Ion's a bridge to more than the mystery landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, coming into your own power, which would not have the need of categories of what you are.
Mm-hmm. And never did before. But as we're coming back to Genesee, there you go.
Yeah. It's like in the 50s, you look at the early UFO cults like George Adamski. They would pretend they were in touch with UFOs, and the UFOs came from Venus or Mars. I mean, that's how small. They didn't have the Hubble telescope. They didn't have big pictures of the universe yet in the 40s and 50s, right? They just had the immediate solar system. And then as the new telescopes brought in newer images in the 60s, then the old limited solar system environment, which was a surround, becomes shrunken and becomes a playpen or a ghetto. You see?
Because they had to name it. They had to say Venus because they knew Venus was there. They had to say Mars because they knew Venus or Mars was there, supposedly.
Yeah. Did you say they had to save it? Did I hear you say they had to save it?
Say it. They had to say it. They had to name it. They had to name it. They had to say the extraterrestrial, or they didn't call them that. The aliens were coming from Mars.
But that's,
they couldn't be open enough to have it be open to coming from anywhere.
Right. They did not have images beyond the solar system in the popular technology of the day. They just had images of Mars and that. So you get that movie Andromeda Strain in the early 70s, that based on a book by Michael Crichton. You remember that movie, Andromeda Strain, where you're starting to have it's going beyond our solar system. The popular image that they would see in National Geographic or those kind of science magazines, they'd have this universe. Well, the new horror movie is that a virus comes from there. You know what I mean? A virus comes to the planet. That's changing, loosening, or expanding the image repertoire of the human consumer of media. And
but
so
very
then,
slightly. Very slightly. I mean, it was still encased.
The
you know,
virus?
It's expanding. It's expanding your view. But it's still so encased. It's like, oh, there's only one galaxy?
Right. It's still a limited framework. And what the people are missing is the electronic space they were in, which you couldn't see. So as each decade of the last 33 decades unfold, the scientists stun people with what their Hubble telescope can say. So they revitalize the science project of trying to figure out what's out there, how big is the cosmos. Now it's, look, we know what the universe is 1 trillionth of a second after the Big Bang. You know, we can document up to very close 1 trillionth second after. That's the imagery people can see TV shows about, but they don't show you the chip body, the invisible chip body, which has shrunken the whole universe. The whole universe is inside the invisible tactile chip landscape. That's
what fractal.
Beg your pardon?
It sounds fractal.
The fractal is an attempt to put order into the implied chaos of the chip landscape, the digital landscape, or the Android meme. That's why chaos theory becomes popular. And then you have string theory, it's another way to visualize the electronic emporium. The point is, you can't visualize it. So science keeps providing more sophisticated visualizations to make you think you're inside something.
Right.
And that's it. That's a hypnosis. And Ion is here to, you know, destroy those hypnotic imagery.
Mm-hmm.
But by saying you're bigger, than the universe, you can eat Saturn, and then you have to deal with, well, your secret chip body that you're not even aware of, and Ion shows you that's part of you that you could program, because Ion programs it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the real avant-garde.
We're going to do it. If you're not
right.
going to do it, we're going to do it.
Right, and he's saying you can do it. So that's the most, that's the avant-garde projection of Ion, way more than any previous entity or channel thing or whatever you want to call the Evergreens or Casey or the Abrahams, Edgar Casey, Seth Bashar, whatever ones are on the YouTube now that you can see, which are usually just verbal guys, right, just mouth talk, or Ramtha.
Right.
This is why I'm proud to be associated with Ion. He is terminal channel entity, terminal man, you know, but put in some Pentagon probe idea, right? He's a high-tech robot.
It's a terminal probe.
Yeah. And that's why I love the... Now, I think, don't I play it in that show, November 30 show? I love that description from the movie Greaser's Palace. Bingo,
yes.
Gas station,
oh.
A motel with a cheeseburger and a side of aircraft
Sweet.
Noise or airplane noise, and you'll end up like Gary, Indiana, which is the...
I wrote it down because it was the coolest quote I'd ever heard in my life.
Yeah, say it.
I was so great. I can't find it. I'm looking.
Well, it's bingo gas... See, he's describing the... the modern, here's an interesting pattern. So McLuhan said the automobile turned the cities into a ghetto because it allowed people to go out and live in the new suburbs. But then the jet plane went around the suburbs and the cities, turning the suburbs into a ghetto. Now the satellite goes around the whole planet and turns the planet into ghetto, and that's where you get Earth Day, 1970, you know, this planet Pluto. So each environment makes the other one look ugly, or it becomes ugly. Becomes a place where there's anarchy. So when Greaser's Palace, which is a movie made in early 70s, says bingo gas station, a motel with cheeseburgers and a side of aircraft noise, that is the scenario of the major cities in the 60s, right? Airplanes flying out of JFK Airport or LaGuardia or the LAX Airport. That's the old industrial environment. It's become a ghetto inside the satellite arch proscenium, and it's an image that's evoked by the satellite environment in the early 70s. It's a basic industrial world, but it has the speedy car culture, right? Fast food culture represented by the cheeseburger, and then the more older hardware parts, what we call the Rust Belt. Gary, Indiana is like the archetypal image of the Rust Belt, right? Just an abandoned place like Detroit is now. And are you from Detroit? So who said that to me earlier?
No, I just was born there, but I grew up in Chicago, so I was Gary, Indiana's right next door, and, you know, I went back to Detroit, and I know all that stuff. I mean, it's very familiar.
Yeah, and Gary, Indiana is... Yes, Gary, Indiana
got
devastated pretty early or something, right?
It's a pit. It's a pit. It's an armpit.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't
so
it was. Isn't it a song in Showboat? Is it Showboat? Gary, Indiana.
Yes.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Picking up on that.
Right.
Gary, Indiana.
So you hear what Robert Downey Sr. in Greaser's Palace is very, very up to date with his image. Okay, saying this monster is an environment, right? Old people play bingo in these old industrial places, right? So it's a collage of what makes up the average American landscape by 1970.
Mm.
A gas station, a motel, a cheeseburger with aircraft noise, and on the edge of becoming a rust belt. And so to describe this monster as an environment, that's what I was getting at. And but then Ion is.
It was brilliant, Bob. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing. And I did get Putney Swope was the other one, right?
Oh, you watched that?
No, I have it on Netflix queue, and we're going to have it when Jesse comes up here for Christmas.
Great.
We're going to watch it.
The opening scene of the somebody coming in and landing in New York City in a helicopter, that's a takeoff on McLuhan, who was being flown around to be a consultant to the big corporations in the mid-60s. That's what I think Downey is making fun of. And if he never answered the question that's what he was referring to, and you speculated, it's confirmed by him what he does in Grease's Palace a couple years later, where he talks about a monster being the old industrial landscape. You know, it's very McLuhan.
Greaser's Palace.
Yeah, it's very McLuhan-esque what he does.
What did you think of Ion saying, you better hurry because it won't be available soon? And you said, oh, no, everything's, obsolesced. It's okay. Not obsolesced. You'll be able to get it. Did you remember that part?
Did I say that?
No, Ion said to you, you better hurry up about getting Greaser's Palace. You mentioned it, and Ion goes, well, you better hurry up because it's not going to be available soon, or however they said it.
And what
and
did
like,
I say?
No, don't worry, Ion. You had to communicate to Ion. Don't worry, it's still going to be available, is what I heard.
Yeah. Well, I mean that everything is preserved digitally now.
And I wondered why Ion said it, were they just being funny?
Okay, now here's a good point. They're finding, I heard this the other day, that the CDs are all eroding, that the digital archive is eroding. And they're now going back to vinyl. I think the Library of Congress has made a statement recently, the Smithsonian, that they got to put everything on back. Yeah, everything's eroding. And so,
oh, my God, it's like the land time is lost or something like that.
The what?
I'm tired.
Where does
that go?
What is she? You got to say it again, Sheila. You're naming a book or a movie or an institution?
No, a movie, probably both. The land time forgot.
Right.
Go back to dinosaurs.
Yeah, maybe I didn't. I think someone sent me the article and I didn't get a chance to say it yet. But yeah, the major institutions are going back to older technology because they're finding things are eroding.
Wow. That's pretty big news.
Yeah.
Oh, Sheila.
What'd Sheila say?
It's oxidization.
Right.
Ion talks about how oxygen is what has been eroding us.
Oh, that's a good point. And oxygen is changing.
Yeah, it's a changing of the elements.
Yeah.
And that's,
this could have.
Yeah,
that's. This,
go ahead.
Yeah, this could be a surprise thing because of what's changing anyways due to Ion's presence and what's happening in matter and the change of boiling point. This may be a surprising new effect just as a result of this year because the H197 is changing. So, as a matter of fact, the RNA drops, our exhalation of the RNA drops may be affecting matter all over the planet. We may have caused that.
I just got that. Oh, my God.
What are you saying, Sheila?
I said, we are the monsters.
Yes, well, that's why I said, had that quote. That's me. When I came on March 25th, that was the dark side. March 25th, 2009, I came on Cashflow and was all excited in the manifesto. But the other side was, I'm coming to tell you that there's a, now what will we call it? Ion, since he's chip body, not those old industrial things of 40 years ago. What would you say? Porn masturbation rather than bingo. Watching porn is what people do today, right? So
well,
you put in porn.
But there you go.
What'd you say?
I said, I don't, but there you go.
Okay. Well, you're a minority, Sheila.
I'm morally superior.
Yeah, don't tell anybody you're a minority to the point that you could be beat up by the mass mind if you don't participate in what you should do.
All right. Send me some porn, Bob.
All right. Just go to foldingtits.com. but the okay, what would be a modern, like Bob comes and says, I'm telling you people, get your shit together, because there's a monster that's going to come and kill each and every one of you. So you, instead of a gas station, it would be get a new battery or something. What do you do to rev up your computer? What do you need? New hard drive. Okay, so it would be porn. It would be porn site, hard drive, but then that's too digital. Okay, gas station. Bingo, gas station. So,
Are you creating it right now?
I'm trying to describe ION.
I was trying to look up while we're talking to get Reese's Palace to get sent to us for Christmas so we could watch both movies. It's not available. Netflix is like, we'll see when it's available, but it's not available. So we don't purchase. I go and I did a Google on Reese's Palace and it has the actual, you know, comment that we heard. You want to hear it again so you can get inspired?
No, but wait a minute. You know that you can get Greaser's Palace on YouTube. You have to find the right – you just put in Greaser's Palace and the one that shows up.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Cool.
It's right below. If you Google it on YouTube, it's right below the part you're going to play me.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. I was just going to play the part in case it inspired you. It's a minute and 18 seconds if you wanted to be inspired.
No, I'm for the current ION. Yeah, but I know it. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
I know it's bingo. What would be bingo today? What do people do today? They gamble? What is the recreational activity that the baby boomers, as they get into their 60s and 70s, what do? They don't do bingo. They do...
Oh. Yeah.
They do play the lottery.
Okay, lottery. Okay, lottery. New lottery hard drives. No longer get your. You got to get a hard. That's your fuel for your computer, right? New hard drive. So, lottery hard drive. Now, where do you sleep? Motel. Your tent. Occupy Wall Street.
<In your car.
laughs> You have your tent instead of a motel with a. What's the food? A Starbucks coffee or something, right?
Yes, you got it.
Yeah, with your Starbucks, and you could name a particular.
With your Starbucks.
Yeah, with your Starbucks, and a side of aircraft
latte.
Noise.
Your Starbucks latte.
Right,
with a side of
aircraft noise. Now it would be a side of the guys who phone you all the time. What are they called?
Oh, the
telemarketers.
Yeah, but a side of telemarketer, of endless phone ringing, right? That's the modern noise. And then, and you'll end up what? You'll end up with ION, end up never speaking to anybody again. As you listen to constant ION recordings.
You'll end up constantly alone. You'll end up.
Yeah. Of ghetto. You're in a fucking ghetto yourself.
Right,
in all
right.
levels. You're
in your own ghetto. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a TV body, astral body, chemical body, ghetto.
let's akin it to a place on the planet. Where is that? What is, like, Gary and Anna?
Well, it can't be.
There's
no localized place. It's the chip body, you know. You end up with your chip body as a ghetto.
Apple up your butt.
Yeah, yeah. You end up like Steve Jobs in the Namari vase.
Apple up your butt or, you know, whatever. Windows 800,000,007.
Or... you know, the side thing, listening to the Ken Hudson, McLuhan on Maui, the one with ION and Ken talking in the third hour, the last hour or so of that mum, it's there that was first, I just listened to it again last night, it's there that we find out that Steve Jobs is in ION's vase. That's when it's first said.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he says Steve Jobs in the vase, and the Mario vase, and we go, what's that? And then, what? We end up going, what? He did it. And I think he says it's in JW's home, I think. I can't remember if it gets that far, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it says on a shelf.
Well, maybe not on that, but we know.
No, that really is it. You end up, an ISA, like he's a chip body guy. He create a lot of stuff for, help create the environment. He ends up ghettoized in a vase. So you end up, or you'll end up like Steve Jobs. That is the punchline.
Funny. Oh my God.
In an Amari vase, waiting and hovering over the new computer world that's coming.
That's not translatable into the masses.
That's right. Well, did they get it back in 1973? That's right about when Gary Indiana probably was going down and hadn't really become known yet.
That's a good point. They weren't already the Rust Belt. So
right,
it was
right.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, people near there would know a bit about it and have a stigma. It depends on when that musical was that Sheila cited. But in general, nobody knew about Gary Indiana until the mid-'80s or 90s or something. You know what I mean? That became a cliche later. So you wouldn't know why he was saying, the cowboy was saying, you'll end up like Gary Indiana. They probably thought it was a person, Gary Indiana. Wasn't that Gary Puckett in the Union Gap or something?
I do love the way Ian will correct you, Bob, and say, you know, you're going to quote something, you quote it a little bit off,
yeah.
And they go, well, quote it right here, Bob. What they said was, you know.
That's right. I love the way he's got all of it on his fingertips. He can quote anything.
Yeah.
He can correct anything. He knows everything.
Which is bigger than life, period.
Yeah. But I think we got it. We got
yeesh.
What was the first word? Porn? Did we say porn? Foldingtits.com. Hard drive. What was the living
Sheila,
place?
Your ball game. What?
Folding? It's not folding tits.
I know. I'm joking. I'm consciously making joke.
Folding.
It's fondling tits, but I pretend. I said folding on a cash flow just by accident. So I'm keeping that one going.
All right.
Okay. Can I jump forward here for a minute too? Do you remember, Sheila, when Bob so eloquently, this was one of your finest moments, Bob, I think, where you'd mentioned Connie or Carolyn was pinching her fat, showing,
yes.
You know, recognizing how fat she was.
Yeah,
And Ian saying, you know, it's one micrometer over another.
Yeah.
and then you eventually ended up saying, 5 pounds of, and then you said breast weight, and James was all over it. I love that.
Oh my God.
'Cause you know that's his arena.
Yeah.
It was just priceless. It was so cool. It was great.
I said 5 pounds
Ian
of breast weight.
You
yeah.
said that, and then Ian quickly says, you know, and Ian says, "Quit titty flashing, Bob. You know, Carolyn, that's enough." So, anyway,
now, that shows your.
Sheila, I interrupt. What?
See, you got to realize that's if we're if Carol and I are the new great Alan and Burns, Gracie Allen, George Burns, what is it?
Yes,
Alan and
yes,
Burns.
Yes.
Now, you cannot imagine Grace. First of all, the visual on the stage. She cannot flash her tits at George. See, this shows you the invisible tactile world we live in with the chip body. We're on the radio station by. You know, from the distance through the satellite or fiber cable that makes us go to South Dakota, right? So the chip landscape, we can be there on the radio, and you can't see us, and we can have people coming in from all over the country, like Ion, that whole chip landscape, and you can't see us, and Carolyn can be flashing me in the room we're in. You see, it's a total sensory environment from the old-fashioned stage that Burns and Allen were on.
Yep.
So it brings up, so the new environment evokes new possible jokes. They could not joke about, they could never conceive of her flashing her tits or joking about it in that old environment because the chemical body was the ground back then. It's not the ground today.
That's why I can talk about wanting to have Sheila's children.
Yes. Imagine, you know, what, you know, what, one of the,
okay.
Yeah, imagine one of the famous actresses, Jane Russell, yelling out when Marilyn Monroe walks by and says, "I want to bury your children," or something. You know, it wouldn't have happened.
exactly.
So that's what McLuhan's point is. New technology evokes new responses in the minds and mouths of people. It evokes new creativity. Mm. And that's the if you want to have a whole bunch of new creativity – that no one ever anticipated in 2020, bring in a whole new different communication medium. That'll evoke and retrieve all kinds of creativity in the archetypal mouth or
and,
imagination.
And I have a question, or not a question, but a comment. Do you agree with this? It also creates the ability for people to go to sleep again because they're being led by somebody else's creativity. It's
you mean to get numbed,
creativity.
To get numbed and
yes.
become more and more of a little person?
In a way, yeah. You can ride the coattails of anybody online who is creating whatever they're creating, and you get to jump on their ship.
That's
you know,
right.
Jump on their...
More things flow freely and easily to you because it's all being done for you.
Right.
I do not right. have to think.
So
I don't have to think. A great passivity. That's
say, it creates a huge rift, is what I was going to say.
Yeah,
go
between
ahead.
You and between you and you.
Or between, you know, somebody who's in their power and somebody who's not. Not to
right.
be a separate thing, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's the choice offering us. You can get ascension and be eternal because they're building an environment that they'll insert you into. That's sort of like Neo
mm-hmm.
in the Matrix. Or you can retrieve the original condition, which is floating around you. You just have to tune into it, the original real ascended state. You got the choice today. You get the AirSats McDonald's version or the legitimate Ion version.
And one is not good and one is not bad. It just is. It just is what you choose.
Yeah, but it seems that Ion does say, he doesn't get all judgmental about it, but he says, we prefer, we side with the genuine article, not the techno womb.
Well, but that's maybe because that's what they're aligned to, you know. Maybe there's another Ion who's speaking to the 99 percenters.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's a good point. And Ion is making sure he doesn't get labeled as one side or the other because he's now emphasizing being in the chip body and implying that it's an aspect of the chip body. So he's going to be cagey and be like any good artist, hard to identify actually which side he's on.
Mm-hmm.
To keep you... To throw the issue back in your lap, it's up to you to decide.
Which I appreciate about Ion big time because it's always in your control. It's not them
right.
doing anything that you didn't ask for. So, you know. So I have another a clip here on the owls and the Templars.
Well, I just wanted to get
one?
On the record. I wanted to just get in my memory. We came up
mm-hmm.
with, did you write down the new version of Ion, the new Grisha's Palace environment? I just wanted to spell it out. It was foldingtits.com or a porn site.
Oh, no, I did not. Yeah.
Okay, hard drive.
Sorry.
Starbucks latte. What was the living environment from hotel?
Well, you said
tent.
Occupy
yeah.
tent.
Yeah, Occupy Tent. So it was porn site, hard drive, Occupy Tent, Starbucks latte with a side of telemarketers bombardment. And you'll end up, and we didn't really say where this virtual space was, did we? And you'll end up...
Maybe it should be L.A.
You know what I like better than telemarketers are those people that call you up to pay your overdue credit card.
Oh, yeah, credit, right.
Something with credit.
Yeah, sidebar of credit chasing.
What's that
what do you
called?
Call the people who chase you?
What's that called? I've drawn a blank.
Yeah. The collector's agency or something.
There you go.
Yeah.
With a sidebar of harass collection multimedia harassment. That would be phone calls,
agency.
Pamphlets. Yeah,
collection agency.
Yeah, with a side of multimedia harassment from
or
the collection agency.
Or you end up in Watts, L.A. No.
No, you don't end up
in
a place. No,
Hollywood.
First of all, you end up, you have to, the chip body is the ghetto. We're moving past the chip body. The chip body doesn't have any location.
So you end up in
no more Gary, Indiana?
No, yeah, no, that's an obsolete, that's a chemical body environment,
okay.
Industrial pollution.
An IP
what?
What, Sheila?
You end up at an IP address.
IP.
Internet
an IP?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
What's an IP?
An IP address, like the URL.
You mean
not
an,
physical.
Your, is that your email? Is that an IP
well,
address?
No, it's a domain on the internet.
All right, so you got to make that a ghetto. The chip body becomes a ghetto, like Gary, Indiana was a chemical body ghetto. So, how do you turn that domain? You end up with a stolen domain name?
No, you end up with a domain name, right?
Right,
Sheila?
But you got to, but
yeah.
You got to. I get that, but then you got to make it a ghetto. So, what's the adjective you put on it?
It is a ghetto.
Right. Okay.
IP addresses are ghettos.
What happens when you can't get online anymore? What's that? What would cause that? You get something canceled?
Server.
You didn't
server
pay
not
your bill.
Found.
What?
Server not found.
Yeah.
Server
and you'll end up
yeah.
Server not found. Very good. That's it.
That's good. That's good.
The thing we
yep.
all hate to see on our window. Server not found. No.
Yeah.
No.
404.
Read it, Bob. Can you read it?
All of it?
So read it.
You mean say it?
Yeah, the whole thing. Say the whole thing.
Gee, that's a litter of pies. Read it, Bob. Read it.
Read
yeah, my mouth's going to read it. Okay, I'll say
okay.
it.
Well, no, you don't have to, but if you want to.
No. Porn site. Porn site, hard drive, occupy tent, Starbucks latte with a sidebar of multimedia harassment from a collection agency, and you'll end up server not found.
That's great. Okay. That's the whole reason to do this whole show. You want to hang up?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And that's what I would say now. And this is describing Ion, right? This is a description of the new monster, who is coming not to kill you, but to cancel you. Somehow cancel you forever.
Oh my God.
And so what do I tell the people? You can't tell them to be good anymore. That's long. That's chemical body humanism. So what would I? So people, what?
Alert.
Start taking your RNA drops, people. That's what he would say. You better start taking your RNA drops.
Complete your completion and stay alert.
Yeah.
Do your completion and stay alert.
Yeah. You sign up for the completement industry.
Because the monster is creeping up behind you. No.
Ion is creeping in.
Breathing on you.
Okay,
ooh.
So did I play that gas station thing on the November 30 show, the show we're doing now?
Yeah,
was
first
it?
Hour.
Okay, so we already did that, right? But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're doing more. Okay, so what's next?
Well,
I'm ready to go on.
It came up again. I don't know why. Okay, let me look at my notes. We now go into the owls. We did the symbols as clues. Ion is
okay.
Big on symbols as clues, right?
Right. Now, here's the thing. What did we finish Renee's sunspot thing?
Yeah.
I went off on a side thing on that, but what was it about that
it
you wanted to talk
griffins,
about?
Griffins and Hebrewloids.
Right.
Anything from you, Sheila?
No. I
said
mine.
Yeah. Okay. So double
you might
and
you might
that.
Be able to put that list of the modern monster we made up. We might be able to stick a Hebrewloid in there. End up server not found Hebrewloid.
Okay, get creative. You stick it in there.
I like space juice better. I like space juice better.
Space juice, yes,
yeah,
they're good. Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
So what was Renee
on
about? What was Renee talking about? I have not reheard the show.
That was about ice. She wanted to know about Isis and the sun disk with the wings, and Ion addressed it. And you mean you're talking about Raya and a C?
Yeah, we did all the Isis stuff. So
yes, we're on now to
okay.
symbols, and I have these all. I have these compared to time, you know, on the show. If you want to hear anything about it, but we're doing it verbally. So it was symbols as clues. Ask an ion will play.
Yeah.
You remember that, Sheila?
Oh yeah, that's my world.
Okay.
And of course.
Well, we went into owls. Okay. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Owls and Renee's kind of running over it, I think. And Ion goes, wait, that's the Knights of the Templars. And what was funny was I think I sent you guys an email with a photo of owls because when I was listening to the show, I was also surfing, doing other things, and on the Anthropology site, like 5 owls came up face on. It was ridiculous. I was like, what? What are these owls doing here? So that was my portion of it. They just showed up right when I was listening to Owls Are the Knights of the Templars.
Mm.
So for me, that's huge because I always get, Ian is always directing every bit of the program to me. So beyond that, what does all this mean?
Okay, if you say
Owls the Templars.
Yeah, if you say owls to me, my knee-jerk mind, which always associates immediately with what you have programmed in there, I immediately think of the owls in Twin Peaks. And then I think about me asking evergreens that came through Michael Blake Reed, what did the owls symbolize? And the evergreens, it was rather a mundane interpretation. They're the ones who don't miss anything. I think that's what they said the owls meant. Okay, so that was applied to Twin Peaks. Then and then another thing is that when I had a session with Cosmic Awareness in 69, early 70, that we were given our role. And so when you say the word symbol, I immediately think of what Cosmic Awareness assigned me was working in Worcester's Symbol Project, which was some kind of going through the symbols that Cosmic Awareness created. And I may have posted them online on Dupes, the 144 symbols that came through Cosmic Awareness. And Ian said that I'd be extraordinary in interpreting symbols. So what I learned from McLuhan back then at the same time was that McLuhan considered environments as symbolic. So when he says the book is an extension of the eye, it's symbolic of the eyeball space. The bicycle, the wheel in rotation is symbolic of feet in rotation. The television is symbolic of the central nervous system. The symbolism of the environments was a new kind of symbols rather than the literate and manuscript symbols of little words and little images. You know what I mean? The kinds that people study. To look at the new environments as symbolic was what I got from McLuhan, and I developed that and have always... So if you mention symbols to me, I look at environments as symbolic, not just the little images. And but Ion has retrieved the value of print or manuscript symbols through the Bible series because all these technological environments are embedded in those little images in the Bible. Do you know what I mean? He actually includes symbolic techno environments in the Genesis interpretation.
And this is where you and I, Sheila, you know, I have the same, I'll say it this way, Bob, I have a clean slate as far as not studying the Bible before.
Right.
Sheila has a great vantage point because she studied the Bible, as did Terry. And so they're coming from that angle. They're listening to what is said in Genesis or Revelations or whatever from a totally different point of view, even though you totally get it, Bob, you know, and from your standpoint. But I can so appreciate more what you're hearing and how you're responding because it's from a place of not deciding
I'm not programmed.
Already what something means. Yeah, you didn't decide what it meant before you heard it.
Yeah, the Christians have to hear what I am saying and filter it like Ginny has to filter it through all that she already knows about the symbols.
Right, exactly. Exactly. They've, you know, you've learned what you learned, and it's in stone, or it's, you know, even malleable, but it's already been learned, so you have to go back and go, what? But
yeah.
The advantage you have is that you've already heard it. Because I hear these news. I listen to you, Bob, on the Genesis stuff I'm listening to, and I love the fact that you're like, what the fuck? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, this is not... This doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't. You're not saying what it means, and all this. And I hear that portion, and that speaks to me because I go, I don't have any preconceived.
Yeah. So you read it. You read it, and you can see the emperor has no clothes. The sentences don't make any sense. You just see that purely because
right.
you got no
right.
thing, no meaning that you were told is how you read it. Yeah. So you're just getting.
Right.
You see the blatant bad writing. In normal grammar terms.
But I'm also really literal. So when
yeah.
I hear the words, you know, I listen really carefully and I go, and Ion said that they're really literal and they know that's how they interpret things. And I often wonder, is there some significance to the fact that Ion overstates we hear things literally? Because we all have a bias, you know, to hear things with, not a literal content.
Right.
Really, most of us don't hear things literally. There's a, you know, a sarcasm or whatever that's going on. And
yeah.
And so if Ion is so literal, you have to step back and go, fuck, I said that and that's what I got? Shit, this is not good.
That's right.
You know, this is not what I wanted.
It's hard for us to understand how you would take it literally like Ion takes it.
Right. And then when you go back to Genesis and you're actually talking about creating the world, oh, my God. You
yeah.
know, this is huge. You're saying, you're listening to this verbiage and this text, and you're saying, and I said this, because if we are all one or, you know, we're part of this whole creation, how does that work?
Right. When people learned how to be creative in the 70s and 80s, took that New Age ideology, well, I'm going to be creative. They usually mean, I'll better handle what my boss does to me when he gives me little memos. You know what I mean? It's like puny little being in realms of creativity. But the idea that you can create a volcano and blow it up all over the place, that is not what the Louise Hay victims were thinking when they
right.
were learning how to be create or how they create their own reality. You know what I mean? That's
they didn't
what
know
saying.
About Sheila.
Yeah, they didn't know. They had no clue the giants walking among them.
That's my favorite story about you, Sheila. I love that so much.
Because
that was when I first met you. And if
yeah,
you couldn't get to the U.S., what?
Because I wanted to stay in Paris another week, so I made the volcano
I
go
know.
Up. I, yeah, it was funny.
I remember hearing Ion say, well, and you you created the volcano in Iceland, and I'm like, what? No.
Yeah, I mean, when you first heard it, that was your reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
well,
are
look at
people inconvenienced.
That's right, just for Sheila's own bliss. So what I'm imaging is that she shows up at your place in Seattle within a couple of weeks after doing that. It
yeah.
was almost like
yeah.
Sheila was a terrorist on the run, hiding out in safe houses, and you were happened to be one of them.
and you created, and Bob created the connection, because what was so great was Bob goes, oh, well, Sheila's coming to Seattle. Do you want her number? I'm like, sure. That's
yeah.
fine. You know, we'll connect.
And you didn't know I was casually running it. Yeah, well, I was casually running a secret intelligence terrorist network, and I just pretend
exactly.
that we're doing this Ion thing. Oh, you might like to meet this Ion that. But I was desperately trying to find a place to save Sheila so you'd be ready to blow up L.A. when she gets to L.A.
I hadn't talked to Terry yet to find out that you were Lucifer.
Oh, that's right.
That was your agenda.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that
yeah.
makes that. I now understand what why Terry thinks I'm Lucifer. She's figured out that I'm running a terrorist network.
Yeah.
Blowing up whole worlds.
I will never forget, Sheila. I don't know if you know this, but when Ion did Terry's first session, which was called a reading at that point,
yeah.
he said to Terry, you're the first ascended person who doesn't know it.
That's right.
That we've talked to.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, and I don't know if Terry's ever recovered from that. She was the first who was parallel worlding all over the place or something. I mean, doing it since she was 2 years old and created a shopping mall. Remember that whole scenario of her youth?
Well, she died when she was seven. But recently, the stuff that's come up, where did this happen? No, she died when she was in one of the most recent cash flows. They mentioned people can even die of septicemia. I told Sheila about this, and I might have told you guys last week. I don't think so, but you know, somebody can die of septicemia and still live.
Right.
And that was Terry. And Terry,
right.
She sent a message to Ion on dupes and said, "Wow." You know, she knew that was about her.
Yeah. And now she technically, from her parents' point of view, died?
Yeah. No, she did it. Age seven, she died. She was gone, and she went into the light and all that stuff, and that's been her whole life since then.
And then they brought her back. Then she got back.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a near-life experience, near-death, near-life experience, right?
Yes. Correct.
So... yeah, because I remember she spent a lot of time by herself when she was young, and she was creating whole suburbs or something, watching.
It's really a cool story, actually, and she just spent all this time in the ocean, and she'd be out there for 8 hours, and how do you go in the ocean for 8 hours? I mean,
yeah.
Really?
And I think that was
ridiculous.
Like she was parallel worlding and spending 3 years somewhere else, and but only 8 hours in our terms here.
And one cool thing that was in her session was that she had seen something that the University of California at Irvine had erected.
Yeah.
And she saw it like 20 years before it happened.
Right. That's what I was trying to say. There was something that was made,
yeah.
a mall
exactly.
or something. It was a university statue. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
that was it. And Ion helped her see that, and she was like, oh, my God, you know, I saw it 20 years before it actually was.
Right, so what you have here is you have someone who's the first ascended person who doesn't know it, who decides that I'm Lucifer, and that it's a good Lucifer, a great light bearer, and she's now writing notes, I know Carolyn's an avatar, or the avatar.
Yeah, she's been here to bring you back. Yeah, yeah.
Beg your pardon?
She's here to bring you back to the light.
Has she said that to you? I'm the Rai and she's the Isis? She put it in those terms?
Well, no. I said Carolyn is here to bring you back to the light, meaning you as Lucifer. And
right.
The only thing I would say about Terry is, and she would totally attest to this, is that she has a very, and I'm not sure, I would love to know, well, let me just say it this way. She has a very flowery version of life. Even though she sees the dark, you know, even though she sees there's dark, which I don't acknowledge, but she sees this dark side, but it's always with the filter of this flowery version of light, right? So
Pollyanna eyes.
Yes, in a way. And at the same time, you hear Ion saying to her, you're the first person, you know, who we've seen who is totally ascended. I mean, that's huge. That's a big statement to make for Ion.
Right.
And she's trying to figure out.
Hey, I just got an idea.
Really,
maybe she died and then she's one of the first people coming back from the guff in that level of being ascended and unconscious.
I mean, you and I could discuss this a long time, and she would not respond to any of it because she's living in this ethereal place that only sees good. And that's why you said to her, go listen to some music that fucks you up, you know?
Yeah,
or,
go listen to something.
Yeah, to get balance. But, you know, that's your version of it. She doesn't want that.
I know, but I was just...
her choice.
But I was thinking that she likes to hear the bad news on Lance White's show or this show or that. She sends me the YouTube. Because
exactly,
that's how she...
You're right.
That's how she knows the Pollyanna world she's in. She only can know it by noticing the bad news. But she does that to reinforce her not affectedness by the bad news.
But I think the whole thing is it's just a different viewpoint from you and me or you and Sheila or Sheila and Terry or whatever.
Right.
You know, she's just who she is, and she's seen it from her view. So, anyway.
Right, and I don't know if it can be done, but I suggest people don't get locked into their view.
Well, that's what appeals to me about you. How about you, Sheila?
yeah, it's about changing perspectives.
Yeah, it include other perspectives. And that may, not to make yourself, you could be too involved in understanding other perspectives and forget your own power of making...
That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And understanding... let me see. That's an effect of literacy, what I just said. When you read different books, you know, 200 years ago, you learn to appreciate other cultures within its book context, and then you would accept and be tolerant of different points of view. That's the ultimate humanist ideal. The ideal citizen can handle conflicting points of view and doesn't start a war over it or something, right? That's the detached, tolerant ideal of the visual space phase of civilization. That, but now that we make our own reality, that's where Ion can come in and undermine all values of book culture, because that led to a passivity of appreciating all the different points of view as the ideal of the reasonable person. And, you know, that's the ideal of management. The person who gets at the highest level is the one who can manipulate through all the office politics and not get stuck. But that is from a bird's eye view of hierarchical organizations. That's not the reality anymore. So you got to learn to start making your own space. And as Ian almost says, you know, become a Hitler. Take your own power. Be careful about authority, but take your own power and learn how to make your own universe and world and mythic stage. That's different from appreciating different points of view. But I recommend maintaining that part of literacy, that value of seeing other, well, you wouldn't understand other points of view. You would become other realities. So I wouldn't celebrate my making of my space as the only space worth making. I want to become...
That was brilliant. That was perfect.
Okay. Well, I'll end there.
Yeah. I really... Did you hear that, Sheila?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
That was really so akin to what I'm going through at this moment, Bob. I can't even tell you. But it was so perfect. It was so perfect because it is not about, you know, trying to morph into what everybody else is.
Opinion.
I'm not going to expound on it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's more. You're more shifting into other huge body environments, different mergings of the five bodies. Take on those others. So that's I'm not. Now that would be the overlap space. It's actually a kind of sociality. You know, you can create your own world, and there's no other connections from anybody else to it. But then Sheila and I were talking about this yesterday, the miracle of overlapping with someone else. That's a deep human need or a pleasure.
Not coitus.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. That would include coitus, but not limited to coitus.
Yes.
Unless Ion means, maybe that's what he means by coitus, because he says it's not sex, it's coitus. Multi-level sex would be coitus. So yeah, it could be coitus.
Down here, I'm on this, you know, my notes, and it says Owls, Templars. Talked about that.
Well, if the Owls are watchers, the Templars are watchers, not the watchers like in Fringe. They are human watchers, and they're the ones who guarded the Solomon's temples. That's what I learned from Ion. The Knights Templars don't begin at, you know, at the Crusades 1,000 years ago. They begin way back at the time of Moses, or whenever the first temple was built. Yeah. Remember this? Ion told me after about 6 months, he says, Bob, this is big. Wake up! You know, I'm like the little Disney character, you know, little idiot and big Gulliver, Lily, what, Lemuel comes to the Lilliputian. I'm a Lilliputian. What are you? Where are you? You know, this is Big, and I am Big Bob, and you have been chosen to help me. And I go, yeah.
That is Big.
Yeah, this is the background to me becoming the guy coming in on the horse and telling the bingo gas station people, right? So how this happened? How did I get into this position when I met the monster? The monster says, this is Big. And I said, what do you mean? What's Big? And he says, well, first there was Templardom, then there was Christendom, and now there will be Iondom. And I said, well, the little boy Bob says, well, I'm not interested in making a religion. Fuck religion. Oh, Bob, this ain't going to be a religion.
Wow.
Okay, so I was told that. So I was told that 6 months into it. That was like one of the first impregnations of me of realizing, well, this is bigger than what I thought. But the point is, in this context, is the Templardom was before Christianity.
Yeah.
And you think of the Knights Templars are Christian Knights. No, they were before, and they guarded the temple, so they were the watchers. They were like owls. So how does this how does this connect to what Renee said? What is this, a dream or what? I can't remember what
she brought it up. I'm not exactly sure. And then
there was an owl.
You
there were in the video they were showing it. What's that station called in Antarctica? I want to say something like Neumeier.
Oh, yeah, she named the base or something, right.
Yeah, there was this anomaly that looked like an owl in the sky, a white owl.
And how'd that get connected to the Templars?
Well, Ion connected it.
Ion did it.
Oh, he said the Templars are symbolized by the owls.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, good. And then we can follow up the next time where we encounter Ion, ask him if the owls means watchers.
Cool.
Well, you went on to go to your Bob Never It.
Right, Never It, never categorized.
That was the whole portion of that section.
Including the cosmic it. I'm not even going to, I agree with Krishnamurti, don't even stop at enlightenment. No, the big it, this is it. Alan Watts did a book. This is it. Well, the big it, I'm not even going to stay there. That's why I now have dropped out of enlightenment and gone back to be the leading edge of the 99%ers. I went back just to experience it again.
Okay. So I'm looking at my notes. I'm going to figure out if this is in the right order. Recipe for each individual is different. Okay, last.
Oh, I want to go back to that. Yeah. So Allison, I appreciate you. When I was told that this is Big Bob and he lays out the three phases, how would you have reacted to that 6 months in Dion if you were the recipient by yourself of the first of Ion?
Say it again. What?
What if you put yourself in my position, hearing this said to you 6 months into it with Ion? You're the one who brought Ion, and he says that. How would you have reacted to that?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Me? Little
oh
old me
God.
In Seattle?
How would I – that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I would be orgasmic, yet I would doubt myself big time.
Yeah.
I would think – this is not really happening.
Yeah, you would have a quick orgasm and then have remorse for the next 6 months.
Exactly. For 6 years.
Six years of remorse. Sin's just a heaven away.
I don't have the abandon that you already created with yourself. You know, that's so free.
Yep.
No, I would be like, I would probably be, you know, really introspective for a long time. Going, this can't be what it really is. Oh, my God. No, it isn't really.
Well, I'll say this about myself. When he said it, it only took me about 30 seconds to accept the role.
Yeah. And I hear you, and I been more power to you. How about you, Sheila? Can you imagine if that was you?
Oh, my God. I'd be so jazzed. I'd put up my business card.
Good for you.
Yeah. That's the rapid Sheila who, when she came off the volcano gig, she met a woman in a bar in Seattle and laid all this stuff on her.
I short-circuited her brain.
But see, Sheila, that was new. You never did that before.
No.
You wouldn't do that.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
I got an email from her 3 days later saying she's just able to speak again or something.
But how fun was it to come out here and play with me?
Oh,
that was good recovery.
Yeah,
it was really good for me. How about you, Sheila?
It was great for me. I needed to talk to somebody who actually, you know, was able to function afterwards. So
yeah. But she didn't really need me. She didn't need me. She just showed up because.
Well, that's the joy of co-creating after ascension.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So I would say that I mean, my first public radio interview in June 87, I said I was here before the Logos. Now, can you imagine saying that? So I was well primed on the megalomania streak to accept the assignment, you know, within 30 seconds, because I kind of been talking that way already. But I would say maybe I may still not have a clue what it means. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
I just didn't stop it, didn't shut it down. Said, fuck you, you're a nut. Yeah, I'm out of here. You know, I didn't do that. I says, oh, okay. And then, and now we've got RNA drops, which according to, it may be only for the people who can really respond to RNA drops, but for them, it's the ultimate substance they've ever had.
Well, this is a great segue, because let's go into the, you know, the whole thing that was in the second hour that, I, you know, James was like, on fire about, and everybody got
okay, guys,
a bee up their
I
butt.
Got, and hold on, that's a big topic, and it's been almost 3 hours, and I'm failing here. So.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So we got half. We got through the first 22 minutes of the second hour.
Should we do it tomorrow?
How can we play it? This is hysterical.
Yeah, that's without playing it. Has it been three? Well, technically, it's 5 after 4, right?
It's been 3 hours.
Technically?
Yeah, on the phone for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But we talked.
Did you say testically?
No, not testically. I didn't mean that. I just technically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought.
Yeah, it's been 3 hours on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 3 hours on the phone, and we recorded about 2 of it, right? Well, let me. I can go look.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Yes, the energy, that's important to do that. So that requires a separate. Now, what's today? Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe. Well, I guess we should end it, and we'll talk about what we'll do next, when to do, not have that on the recording. So.
Yeah, because we need to talk about the whole energy and the calories and the whole thing. So, okay.
Well, this is
Sheila.
But hold, but stay here for a second. This is a special. We're doing a special here. This is not stuff for the radio. So we can go on forever. We can go on forever, right? This is a special. That's how it's listed on my timeline.
Sheila can't go on forever tonight.
Not today.
I need to eat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just a second. Let me just get this done. Just a second.
La la la. Who did that?
That was me.
Oh, God. Thank you.
I'm feeling the space.
It sounded like some cyborg.
Some observer.
Cyborg loud.